If you're in business, if you're thinking about opening a business, or if you are just thinking about expanding your current office space, I have a most interesting guest coming up, Jonathan Steinberg, who is going to talk about the commercial real estate, office space. How is it going in the world? How is it going in Israel? And what to expect in the coming year? I think you'll really enjoy this.
Wake up,
y'all. From Jerusalem, Israel, this is From the Midwest to the Middle East, the podcast that explores everything new in U.S. and Israeli economy. Here's your host, Philip Stein.
I'm really pleased to be having this podcast today. First of all,
this episode is brought to you by Philip Stein and Associates, the largest U.S. CPA firm in Israel, providing U.S. tax services to Israelis, Americans, corporations, startups, and anyone else needing them.
Well, I'm very excited today as part of our series of looking into 2024. I have Jonathan Steinberg, who's the founder and chairman and CEO of Newmark Natam, which is the largest commercial real estate company in Israel. It's headquartered in Tel Aviv and has 5 regional offices. Jonathan founded the Natam Group in 1985, and since then he has worked and invested in the development of the company into a multi-service group. He has expertise in representing tenants, landlords, and investors in the Israeli market. In addition to his position at Newmark Natam, Jonathan is the chairman of the board of the Schechter Institute for Jewish Studies in Jerusalem, and he's also the author of Buying Real Estate. So welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you.
So real estate, I think particularly in Israel, a lot of people own real estate, okay? And people are always talking about it and how much their place is worth. But we're going to talk about your expertise in the commercial area. And I want to start with, you may have seen it yourself, it was a 60-minute segment in the show, regarding the crisis in commercial real estate in Manhattan. They reported that the crisis is a result of A, people not wanting to return to work after working so long from home because of COVID, and also loans coming due to the banks, which, you know, now they took a loan a few years ago, they're facing much higher interest rates. Do these same factors apply in Israel?
Well, the people working from home, our feeling is that in Israel, the workers, particularly in the high-tech industry, do want to be in the office because it's very much a young sector, and being in the office is part of their whole lifestyle. So we don't feel that office space is under lower demand because of the lack of interest in coming to the office. But the other factors of the higher interest rates is critical because the locomotive of the Israeli economy is the high technology. And once interest rates went up, there was less investment in startups and therefore less startups taking space and taking smaller spaces. Whereas in the hot years, you'd have two fellows coming in and say, we want 1,000 meters, we have to grow a company. Now they come in and say, we're 2 people, we want 2 rooms. So the demand as a result of that has flattened out considerably. And that's basically in the situation in the past year and a half since the interest rates went up in April 22. So I classify the situation here. Right now, there's a glut of office space in many markets in Israel, mm-hmm. not so much in Tel Aviv itself, but in outlying markets such as Petah Tikva, Rishon LeZion, Holon, where there was overbuilding, and the buildings are largely have very low occupancy levels, mm-hmm. and that's a situation that we're facing in 2024, and that's really what's the market is now has to absorb that overbuilding, so that buildings become occupied and then the market will even out. And we'll probably see a new boom in development.
It's interesting that you refer to the overbuilding, or I found, at least when I drive into Tel Aviv, you know, you go along Ayalon or you come into Yerushalayim, there seem to be a lot of cranes up, you know, building commercial property. So are those projects in trouble?
But the thing about an office building is that it takes anywhere between 3 and 5 years to get the project started, to get the planning approval and to get ready to go into the ground. Once they go into the ground, it's very difficult to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to stop. You don't really want to stop a building in midway, and developers tend to finish the construction no matter what the market is doing. So that's it. That's what you see going on. And again, in Tel Aviv was a hot market. Rents in Tel Aviv went up to 240 shekel a meter at the peak in 2022. They've now dropped down to about 140 shekel a meter for the same type of space.
Wow.
So it's quite a drop. 140 shekel a meter is a good rent historically. The rents over 200 were simply a momentary peak. But as a result of that, a lot of buildings went into development, and they're now being in the process of being completed, because that's the, as I said before, that's what a developer needs to do. Once he starts, he has to go ahead and...
No, I'm not. We're not going to talk about residential, but there's certain areas you drive through Modine, for example, which I live close to Modine. They're just ghost towns, these construction projects. There's just nothing happening. Now, I understood that because of, workers from the, Palestinian Authority and, from the territory, Yehuda Vashomron, are not being let in. Is that impacting commercial as well?
It's impacting the entire industry. Uh-huh. There's a lack of, of construction workers, and that's one of the reasons why the ongoing projects are not being completed on time. It's funny, in the wartime, certain people benefit. So for example, landlords we know who had major tenants moving out are now getting extensions for another year or two. So they benefit. On the other hand, the client who's building the building, he waits another year or two to finish his building. The feeling is that the construction industry is getting back to work. They're bringing workers from different countries, but it's a slow process, and it'll take the good part of the year to work its way out.
So, other than the lack thereof of construction workers, how's the war affecting your industry in general?
Well, war causes uncertainty. So that a company who wanted to move everyone has had a drop off in business. So basically, the uncertainty is causing companies to think twice about making a move to extend their lease for another year, and basically try and wait out the war until the economy recovers, and they can make the move that they planned on. That's in terms of most of the sectors. What we are seeing is more demand in certain sectors that are connected with the military industry, the military effort. But generally, the market is moving much more slowly and much more hesitant to make decisions and take on new space, new projects, and any kind of decision that requires a new investment.
Okay. Now you had mentioned before about high tech, impacting the market. Is that who's really fueled the previous boom up until now, or those projects that you say may have been started 2, 3, 4 years ago and are toward completion? Was it all geared toward high tech?
Absolutely. The market is the economy and the real estate market is very much oriented towards serving the needs of the high tech companies, whether it be software companies who are very active in Tel Aviv. They took tens of thousands of meters in 22 and also in the outlying areas. And that's the major locomotive of the economy. And along with them, the other companies grow, whether it be a law firm or an advertising firm. Everyone benefits from the oxygen that the high tech puts into the economy. The only other sector which was growing actively was the logistics sector, which basically was a beneficiary of the move to online shopping, and meant that many companies need larger warehouses, taking warehouses instead of retail space, because they're supplying the customers directly from the warehouse through online sales.
These logistics centers, again, going back to Modine, there's an area that a few years ago, it was just hilltops, and it is It is like a whole city just of logistics centers.
Right. That's a perfect example. That area in Shoham and anywhere within the central area where they can supply the country with goods.
I know a few years ago, I asked a client, they took some office space, you know, right off the ILO near the Shalom train exit. And I said, couldn't you have, you know, taken some space a little further out? Why? He said to attract employees who just wanted to get on the train, get off the train, get on their, a scooter.
We call it the Corkinet Corridor. The corridor on either side of the Ayalon, within say half a kilometer of residential neighborhoods occupied by mostly the younger population who are the programmers for these companies and want to commute to work by Corkinet. That was the hot part of the economy. That's where the rents right went up to 240 shekel a meter at their momentary peak in 2022.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking of that Gesher Dvora that is probably, you know, at rush hour, that's probably scooter Corkinet heaven.
Right.
Okay. We read about malls, brick and mortar being a thing of the past. What can someone in retail expect in the coming year or years?
Well, I think that again, retail has made a turn towards more online sales. As a result, the malls have experienced a lowering of demand for their spaces. We don't see a lot of new malls being developed right now. There is continuing developing what they call the neighborhood centers, centers where, say, 5,000 meters would serve a particular neighborhood. That's more local shopping, with the supermarket or the Patholim or needs of that sort. That is the trend by and large. And for example, there's been an upturn in the market for the last mile kind of suppliers, like companies like who supply supermarket to the want a warehouse. A supermarket chain wants a warehouse located close to population centers so they can deliver the online service, online deliveries to their customers. So that's a kind of a demand which has made demand for retail space in the city still viable, although at lower prices than actual stores.
I recall in the States that, you know, when the malls were really coming in, and you know, bigger and bigger malls, that in the States, tenants paid, their rent was also tied to their revenue. Is that the case in Israel as well?
Yes. The large, well-run malls, they have, the rent is usually a base rent and a percentage of turnover.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which can go between 2 or 3% for, say, a supermarket up to 7-10% for a retail store.
Going back to the crisis in Manhattan, they showed some office buildings just trying to differentiate themselves by converting to apartments. Okay, is that something that could happen here?
I don't think so, because it's technologically, it's very difficult to convert an office building to an apartment, because an office building usually runs on a central core where the bathrooms and the elevators are, and the space in the offices is basically open space. Whereas apartments need, for every 100 meters or so, they need multiple plumbing lines and plumbing lines, which you have to retrofit in a office building. Office buildings are very often built with glass facades, not necessarily the right thing for residential. It worked in places like Manhattan, where they had a lot of very older office buildings with small floor plates, and and there they were able to do the retrofitting. We haven't seen it yet in Tel Aviv, and I don't really expect it.
Got it. Okay, so my last question, and this is for my U.S. listeners who might be, you know, we read a lot about the coming Aliyah post-war, the increased anti-Semitism. Someone wants to, you know, move their business here, move They have an idea for some type of retail space. What advice would you give Olim who haven't packed their suitcases yet, but see that now's their time to make their move?
Well, first of all, you're all welcome, and we want you to come. And we who've been here for 40 or so years made the right decision, and it's been good here. I would say that anyone who's coming has to you need a year or two or three to get your feet on the ground to see how things work here, because things work here a little bit differently, and sometimes the what you're familiar with from the States is not necessarily the same. Doesn't work the same way in Israel. So the best thing is not to buy right away. The best thing is to rent. As rent, you can always extend the lease or shorten the lease. And it's not as, and you don't get into the commitments that you're involved in purchasing. Whenever Americans come and talk to me about developing, I say, don't develop right now. Buy something existing. Get used to the market. See how the market works here. It works in very objective ways, but you have to get to where you have to. We're in the Middle East. It's different here. And you have to get used to it before you really jump in with 2 feet and start building or going on a limb with riskier projects. Go with the conservative projects, existing properties, which can be rented or resold. That's much more conservative. And then later on, you can go into the you can begin expanding your base.
Well, one of the things I've encountered over the years, you know, new Olim. Could be commercial, could be residential. They are very surprised that they are getting, you know, when they get their first bill for Arnona, I guess the U.S. equivalent of real estate tax. So I've had people send it to their landlord, because in the States, that's the landlord pays the, and it doesn't work that way here. That can be a significant number in terms of that they didn't budget, they didn't plan. And that's one little difference. And, you know, I think you're right. You got to get your feet wet. You can't, you know, not to, I've seen people, when I used to tour for Nefesh B'Nefesh, I had like 10, Phil's 10 things, you know, and one was, especially if you're office space, don't have such big eyes. You might get there eventually, but start, be conservative when you're starting out. Maybe squeeze into something a bit smaller or not as luxurious as you're used to in the States.
Well, we've represented a number of American investors who've done very well here because they went and they moved into the market slowly. They bought conservatively, and then as they got to know the market, they were experienced enough to then go into larger projects and do well at them also.
Okay, so if people want to know more about Natam, they want advice, they're looking for properties, how are they in touch with you?
Well, we're now part of the Newmark Group, which is an American-owned property company, property services company, headquartered in New York with 170 branches. So they can get our details from there. But if they go into Newmark Natam on the web, all our particulars are there, and you're welcome to call and call me directly.
Okay, and that number is
972-505-201-727.
Thank you, Jonathan, and we should have a good year. And you know, 2024, a year from now, we can look back at a tough year, but hopefully things will be looking.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Feel free to visit us at www.pstein.com or look for Philip Stein and Associates on Facebook and LinkedIn.